You're listening to the Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 9th of August 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking at exchange-traded funds and hedge funds. With outstanding investment in ETFs globally now outstripping that in hedge funds, we'll explore some of the possible reasons. We'll ask, too, whether a comparison between the two is in fact valid at all. How should investors balance their portfolios between active and passive investments? Stay tuned to find out and to hear our experts give their longer-term outlook for ETFs and hedge funds alike. We start with the apparent trend of a move toward ETFs. Do our experts agree with this shift, and if so, why has it been happening? Mads Pedersen is Global Head of Asset Allocation for the CIO Office in UBS Wealth Management. Why does he think we've seen this shift?
There are two ways of seeing it, and they both support each other, I think. But it's, for many people, it's an effective and cost-efficient way of expressing views in the market. So that's the simple reason. And also, as things become complicated in markets and performance for some people become intransparent, it's also a way of making the thing more simple. Investments, you don't have to consider whether a manager will outperform or not outperform. You can basically just buy the index and take an investment question out of a complicated equation.
The trend of using so-called passive building blocks is not new, says Thomas Mertz, who's responsible for the UBS ETF business in Europe.
I think to some extent the trend using passive building blocks is nothing new, right? It started some decades ago in the US. Also in Europe, it started approximately after 2000, mainly on the institutional side. And during, you know, kind of very difficult market condition like the tech bubble as well as then the sovereign crisis, I think more and more investors, also non-institutional investors, realized that having exposure to pure broad market beta on a very cost-efficient basis kind of is an important thing to have in the portfolio. I think that's one important driver of the trend. And the second one is probably the need of having very transparent instruments in the portfolio. And that's also something which ETFs obviously feature quite well.
Kevin Allison is a columnist for Reuters Breaking Views.
Well, I don't think it's much of a surprise to see money moving out of hedge funds relative to ETFs, to see ETFs starting to overtake hedge funds. First of all, I think hedge funds have always been a sort of more exotic asset class that only really wealthy investors have had access to. Whereas with ETFs, just anybody off the street can go buy an ETF. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that ETFs oftentimes just track something like an index, like the S&P 500 or some other kind of stock index or commodity. And when you look at hedge fund returns against the main stock indices, they've been doing terribly the past several years. Hedge funds have returned maybe 4% last year compared with something in the double-digit returns for the S&P 500. So I think that investors are looking at that performance and questioning the high fees that they pay to these hedge fund managers and saying, look, I just don't think the hedge funds are worth it.
Andrew Lee runs the alternative investments team within the CIO for UBS Wealth Management. Why does he think we've seen this, if indeed he actually agrees with the assertion?
I wouldn't necessarily say toward or compared to hedge funds. I think ETFs have seen significant continued inflows because they do provide a lot of advantages for investors. They're low cost, high liquidity, and great accessibility, which makes them great effective tools for any investor. I think you're seeing growth in both ETFs and hedge funds, but for different reasons.
We've got a sense of the market dynamics, but one question that our analysis prompts is, how should investors balance active and passive funds in their portfolio? Here's Mads Pedersen.
The most important considerations to do when you do a portfolio is you should always think about what are your costs and what are your achievements after costs. So if you have investments which you're changing quite often, well then transaction costs become very important, and then ETFs easily become an efficient way of using efficient instrument of using to express views which you might be changing. So for example, in our situation, we are large users of ETFs when it comes to tactical position taking in equity markets. And that's an area where it's very good to use ETFs. If you have a suspicion that in the market there are people who are very, very skilled and able to beat the average market, well, then you should stay away from using ETFs, because then you should let people express their skills. So it's down through the cross, I would say, of where people have strong skills, where you believe there are strong investment skills, and relative to a cross where you believe that things become too expensive to express. There are areas where things people might have skills, but they might price them a little too high for your comfort.
What's the view of Miles Johnson, the Financial Times hedge fund correspondent?
Well, it's sort of a perennial question in investment is, you know, to what value does so-called active management add? You know, there's lots of sort of frequently observations about, you know, sort of children or babies being able to randomly pick stocks and outperform active managers. I think, though, in this case, it is a little bit more complicated. I think specifically with ETFs, ETFs are sort of they have to be viewed in the context of they're an investment product, which has been pushed by the investment industry, you know, where effectively large fund managers can generate profit from selling these things to clients. Although ETFs themselves can't really be directly compared to hedge funds. Hedge funds are very diverse. There's lots of different types of hedge funds. And really, you know, you have to always think, I guess, what you're investing in for what reason. And I think that ETFs are primarily directed towards retail investors, whereas hedge funds are sort of more for institutional investors. And I think, you know, it's quite difficult to sort of make a sweeping statement about both of them.
Kevin Allison says it depends on what kind of investor you are.
If you are an investor who's trying to save for retirement, then I think that if you put your money with a fund manager, the average fund manager has about a 50-50 shot at beating the index. So why not just buy the index? And I think that's the very simple calculus, especially because ETF fees are oftentimes a fraction of the 2% and 20% management fees the hedge funds charge. The hedge funds charge 2% of the assets under management, and then they take 20% of any excess returns that they make. If you look at the performance net of fees, it's even worse than the sort of overall performance, where hedge funds are already lagging the stock indices oftentimes. So I think that for your average pensioner someone saving for their pension, it's very hard to say that hedge funds might be a better idea. Now, for someone ultra wealthy, ultra high net worth or high net worth customer who feels like they can handle the risk of the hedge funds potentially not returning what they had hoped, or who can bear the cost of those fees and wants to use hedge funds as part of a portfolio diversification strategy, it makes a lot more sense. And that's how the legal regime around hedge funds has always been set up, so that only so-called sophisticated investors who have over $1 million of assets are able to invest in them.
And here's Andrew Lee again.
Well, I think it is dependent on the individual, but if you think broadly about the dispersion of performance returns that managers generate, in other words, how much do top managers in any given area outperform versus the bottom managers, it happens to be very high, or the band of performance is very wide in areas like hedge funds. So alternative investments, both hedge funds and private equity, the band tends to be very high, and it tends to be much tighter for traditional asset classes like equities and bonds. So when we think about passive versus active, we think about having the balance tilted towards passive management in areas that are specifically concentrated on the traditional asset classes, like equities and bonds, and most of the actively managed exposure should fall into alternatives, or in this case, hedge funds, right? So when investors are paying up for active management, you really want to see, you know, significant outperformance to justify the higher fee structures. So we'd think that the active funds would be concentrated, or active management would be concentrated in the alternative investment space as opposed to the traditional asset classes.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll consider the efficacy of comparing ETFs and hedge funds in this way, and get the longer-term outlook from our global experts. One potential problem in this analysis is that for some, the very notion of comparing ETFs with hedge funds is at best unhelpful, and at worst, actively misleading. Is the comparison of the two unhelpful? Is it failing to compare like for like? There are a number of interesting factors here, says Miles Johnson.
One thing which should be mentioned is the fact that, you know, ETFs themselves and the way hedge funds actually have started to look at ETFs, because some hedge funds are actually identifying trading opportunities in the rise of the ETF market itself, in the sense that when you have large amounts of passive money going into markets and tracking markets, this can also create pricing distortions and can also concentrate risks in a way which maybe the wider market hasn't yet sort of come sort of really in terms.
Andrew Lee is unconvinced by the comparison.
I don't think the comparison is really that appropriate or relevant. I think both share the word fund in their name, but that's about it in terms of similarities. The way I'd characterize it is ETFs are generally instruments, while hedge funds are more actively managed vehicles. So ETFs are used not only to provide investors with long-only passive exposure to markets, but also as a tool for hedging. You know, hedge funds actually use ETFs as instruments to hedge out certain market or sector risks. So on the one hand, with ETFs, you have investment instruments that can be used for very specific purposes within portfolios, both investing long and investing short. And then in the other case, in hedge funds, you really have actively managed investment vehicles whose objective is really to generate asymmetric returns using a range of different strategies and underlying instruments, including ETFs. So I'm not sure that the comparison is really that appropriate or relevant.
Not everyone is in agreement, however. A flawed notion? Not at all, says Kevin Allison.
I think it is helpful. I mean, I think that ETFs represent competition for hedge funds. I think hedge fund managers have to be worried that eventually money will start flowing more in the direction of ETFs. I think it's a problem for the industry. So I think the comparison is totally valid. I think that ETFs are just a much simpler product. Hedge funds are very complicated. You have to lock up your money in them for a long time, whereas ETFs, it's a lot more liquid. You're not committing to sticking your money with them and only being able to cash out once a quarter, or once every 6 months, once a year, etc. So I think, you know, they're obviously different types of asset classes, but they're competing for the same cash that investors hold and want to get a return on.
Let's look to the medium and longer term and consider the outlook then for hedge funds. What's the hedge fund's correspondent's view? Here's Miles Johnson.
Fundamentally, hedge funds and ETFs are different things. And the rise of the ETF is a relatively recent phenomenon, and ETFs work well when markets are just going up and people want to get broader market exposure. It's much harder to make money when markets are falling. And the true test of hedge funds, you know, which have come under a lot of attack in recent years for being, you know, charging their investors too high fees, generating mediocre performance, the real test of hedge funds is when there is eventually another market sell-off, whether they'll be able to make money again. And that's when they will really prove their worth. I think, you know, the hedge fund industry is changing a lot. You know, hedge funds used to be the preserve of ultra-high net worth, as they're called, individuals, you know, basically rich private individuals who wanted to kind of give charismatic, so, you know, you could call them fund managers, kind of the chance to make big bets, like George Soros or someone like that. Whereas now, actually, a lot of the people who are invested in hedge funds are pension funds and endowments, quite conservative investors who really are just looking for more of a diversification and a way to get a slightly different type of return than that what they'll get from, you know, a sort of standard portfolio of stocks or bonds. So I think that, you know, it will be very, very interesting as we head into the next couple of years when we're going to see, for example, the U.S. Federal Reserve presumably start to raise interest rates for the first time in over half a decade, what effect that will have on markets. You know, markets have been going up for a long time. Maybe markets will start to have a bit of more of a shaky period, and that's when we'll be able to see if hedge funds are able to sort of restate their purpose.
And here's Andrew Lee again with his outlook.
I think hedge funds still serve an important role for investors in overall diversified portfolios that are positioned for the long term and which really have a risk-adjusted return approach. So, you know, we expect there to be continued demand for hedge funds in the coming years, and perhaps especially so from institutional investors. I think that the risk-return profile that hedge funds generate is quite attractive to investors from a portfolio context. They continue to generate returns with lower volatility than equities. And as an alternative to fixed income, particularly high-grade fixed income, given our current expectations and where yields currently are, they fill quite an attractive place in a portfolio from a risk-adjusted standpoint. I think that one of the strongest motivations, perhaps, right now for hedge funds is investors looking for alternatives to their fixed income portfolios. And again, as I mentioned, in particular, high-grade bonds. You know, we've had a 30-year bull market for bonds, but with yields at all-time lows and rates set to increase from here, I think the investors are having are really ramping up the discussion around around how to find alternatives to their fixed income and particularly their high-grade bond exposure.
Mads Petersen, meanwhile, strikes a fairly optimistic note.
The outlook is actually quite good. We have an expectation that hedge funds should be able to deliver a performance, not the same as people thought in 2005 and 6, but still a return which we expect for the next 5 years to be between 4 and 6% return. And that becomes interesting in the sense that when we look at a market in fixed income, for example, where the return expectations have come down due to low yields, well, then we have a market where return expectations holds up relatively well, and you have a market where return expectations go down, then you become more interested in the market where return expectations holds up. And I think hedge funds have had a bit of a renaissance by delivering relatively good results in recent years compared to the revised expectations after the great financial crisis.
And what's the outlook on the ETF side? Thomas Metz, again.
I definitely see much more assets coming in the next year. As I said, purely based on the trend that more and more parts of an investor's portfolio will be implemented using a passive strategy. ETF is definitely one very, very good way you can do that. And based on also the more and more need for transparent instruments, I think that is, for me, a clear sign that ETFs will be in favor going forward. The second thing which underlines my assumption is actually that at the moment a lot of institutional or professional investors using ETFs, mainly on the equity side, more and more for fixed income, more and more also for other more concentrated exposures like subsector sectors, commodities, any kind of more exotic kind of exposures, high yield exposures as well, emerging market debt and so forth. But the trend which I clearly see in the client I'm speaking to is that more and more new client segments are actually moving into ETFs, more on the private wealth side as well.
And that's Thomas Metz, bringing us to the end of this 44th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.